Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by Agent 70.
What's up?
And joining us again for a second straight week is at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back, Roddy Cat.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
And Dirt, a.k.a. Stunt Monkey, won't be with us tonight. He had a friend pass away, so we sent his our condolences to him and his friend's family. But now on to comic books. So before the show started, we were sort of talking about how there wasn't too much news from this past week, but as usual, there was a little bit, so we will discuss that briefly. First up, we have, I guess to go back to last week, of course, we were recording live when the Ben Affleck playing Batman news broke, and I guess we could just sort of wrap it up since it is official and we've had time to digest it. What do we all think about it?
Well, I'm still going to go on by what I said last week. He will probably make a good. It's not as serious as people saying it is, and clearly the petition that they started was a little too much. But it's the internet. I still think he's probably going to make a pretty decent Bruce Wayne. I don't know about Batman. We will see. You know, and I guess since it's the Batman Superman movie, he probably will be in the suit more than not.
So. What was funny to me was I remember there was news sites started posting how Ben Affleck had signed a multi-year deal to play Batman. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, really.
What, they thought he was just gonna play
one
Batman
and done
in the be one and done in the Batman Superman team up and we'll replace him now? No, That's not how these comic book movies work anymore. The only time you replace is if they replace you.
Right.
A la Rhodey and Iron Man and Bruce Banner. But yeah. So feelings on Batfleck, as people have termed him. Like I said, he'll play a fine Bruce Wayne. I think he'll be fine in Batman. It's not like, as people say, go back and look at Christian Bale's performance as Batman. It's not like he was, you know, this jaw-dropping performance as Batman. I mean, Batman did, you know, besides the take away the distorted voice thing he did, and I mean, it's a guy in a suit.
Basically, yeah.
I was just going to say, I hesitated. I didn't do it because I don't own it. But I hesitated to go back and watch Daredevil just to see what we could be looking forward to. So, you know, I didn't do that. But, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're going to do this right, because Affleck hasn't had very many missteps in his recent, you know, in the recent past in his career. So ultimately, I hope he is able to pull this off without too much of a hitch, you know, just for the sake of the characters, because I don't know, you know, the character's enduring, the character's pretty much everlasting. It'll probably be able to withstand another box office flop, but, you know, ultimately, I hope, you know, just for the character's sake, that that he's able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And going back to the Bale thing, I just watched Dark Knight Rises. I'm gonna let my whole impressions go. Yeah, Bale's, just like you said, Tim, Bale's Batman was what it was. That's, I'm gonna leave that right there.
Hey, you know what? Every time I think about Bale playing Batman, I don't know why, but I think of him in playing the John Connor in whatever that last Terminator movie. And his little meltdown on set.
Oh, like, yeah.
The stage person was moving something in the background. He's trying to kind of have this deep, emotional, intense scene with whatever the his wife's name at the time on the in the movie. I forget right. The actress' name. Who played the Opie? Who played Opie in Andy Griffith?
Oh, Ron Howard.
Ron Howard's daughter, whatever her name is. Something Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh,
but yeah, he no.
Yeah, I remember that was pretty funny.
But enough of Batman.
All right.
At least for now.
Yeah, Bane 2. Anyway.
let's see. So there, last weekend was a Fan Expo in Canada, which is a convention, and DC released some news during it. And some of the, I guess it's more than one piece of news. Number one is Jeff Lemire is going to take over Justice League of America from Geoff Johns. And part two, they're renaming the title from Justice League of America to Justice League of Canada. And they're moving the team to, of course, Canada. And this all spills out of the fallout from Forever Evil.
You know, when things get rough, you run to Canada.
And they're going to introduce a brand new Canadian hero to be a part of the team. And is it Adam Strange is going to join the cast, and they're turning him into a Canadian also?
Oh, my goodness. Anybody thoughts? This sounds a bit silly to me. That's about all I can say.
It makes sense of why they had announced that Jeff Lemire was leaving Justice League Dark to begin with. And I forget who actually is taking his place on that. Someone watching, you can fill us in. Tweet at us during the show. Oh, yeah, I didn't do the whole spiel at the beginning of the show, did I? So,
nope.
Backtrack. Go to the website, dclicknation.com. Has the previous episodes of Comic Book Chronicles, Comic Book Reviews. Check that out. And follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Find us on Google Plus. Just search for TheClickNation. And also join the TheClickNation community on Google Plus. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, youtube.com/TheClickNation. And last but not least, if you ever want to send us some feedback to be read on a future show, send that on over to TheClickNation@gmail.com. And our co-host Dirt's website is popculturenetwork.com. Check his site out, people.
You should hit us up on Twitter also. If you're not watching us, you can catch Tim Dog at TimDOGG at 98. You can catch Roddy Cat at RODDYKAT and myself at Agent_70.
Yeah. And now we have tweets to read from Dork Geekus. He says, Bale Terminator meltdown was chilling because dude had it in character. Indeed. And he also says DC should use this opportunity to parody Alpha Flight. Actually, I don't think they want to parody Alpha Flight. I think they want to, you know, have this be a
serious,
anything comic book superhero isn't serious, but I mean, they won't seem to be taken seriously.
Right.
I guess Jeff Lemire is Canadian too, which I guess is a part of it.
And I feel like Alpha Flight's been a parody at times, so that's just me.
I mean, I remember when Alpha Flight was serious for a while.
Right.
You know,
and now there's Omega Flight. Yeah. Omega Flight's been brought up in Avengers. I think the whole team was like killed though.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, way back when, Omega Flight and Beta Flight were like the training teams for Alpha Flight.
They were the B and C teams.
Exactly. So, you know, they're naturally cannon fodder, you know, for any writer that deemed them fit to be killed.
Like the GLA.
Exactly.
Next up, we have... So, the big news for today was James Spader was announced to be doing the voice of Ultron in Avengers Age of Ultron, the sequel to The Avengers.
I'm glad they got somebody creepy.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Like, clearly, because I like Spader. He's a good actor, and like you said, he can do creepy, so that works out.
I like the picking. He's got a distinct voice. It should work well. I questioned on Twitter earlier this morning. You know, Avengers 2 doesn't come out till what, 2 years from now, and they've already selected the villains, who's going to be playing the villain and voicing them. But we still don't have official word on who Groot and Rocket Raccoon are going to be voiced by, and that comes out next year.
Well,
yes, we had rumors, but you know, Marvel has not released an official statement.
I think the lawyers are still trying to hammer that out. If I will get you 10, it's because some of these characters don't want to be, or some of these actors don't want to be contractually obligated the way Marvel tries to get you, you know, tries to get them to be obligated to appear in 3 or 4 films, like you were joking before about Ben Affleck.
Right. Wait, and did they not confirm Vin Diesel as Groot? Because I thought I saw something on that earlier.
Not officially.
Okay. I know I saw an article about, there was an article, I think it was a couple of days ago, about him saying basically he wants to, it's a challenging role to play Groot, or it will be a challenge to play Groot or something like that. But I guess that's not necessarily saying that's official either. And then there was one I posted just a little while ago on News Nerds Neat, by the way, about him, about other characters that they could get him to play in the Marvel Universe. I guess a speculation piece, basically. And I can't find it, so, oh well.
Yep, so James Spader, we have that to look forward to in, what, 2 years?
Yep, it's about. Just about.
And the final bit of news, at least I had, was... I saw this earlier today. Well, not earlier today, but right before the show. So Krypton returns in the Superman books this fall. And Krypton returns is going to be a storyline between, I think, Superman, Superboy, and Supergirl, involving Hel and him going back in time to when Krypton was still around and trying to mess around with the time stream, and they had to go and stop him.
Really?
Hel? Don't ask if that's the proper pronunciation or not.
Close enough.
So, any of you keep up with the super books, super family of books?
I tried. The one that I don't know if Lobdell is still writing it. The one that Kenneth Rocafort is doing art for. I think that's the Superman title. I tried reading it. I lost track. You know, I just haven't been. You know, there's been so much to read the last couple of weeks, the last month or two, that I just haven't been able to keep up with it. So maybe I'll have a chance to go back and check it out. ultimately, I guess they just needed to reintroduce the rest of the Krypton, or you know, the rest of Krypton into New 52. Because I don't know if you guys remember, this was a big storyline before or pre New 52, if I recall.
What was that?
Weren't Kryptonians invading the Earth a big storyline in DC pre New 52?
Yeah, it was a New Krypton was the storyline.
Right. So I guess this is their way of reintroducing that. It's still pretty fresh, I would think, to most Superman fans.
Yeah, I mean, it was within the last like four or five years it happened.
Right. So it'd be nice to see that come back.
And I'm actually thinking about reading Supergirl. I think it was Doug talked about it last episode, and the whole stuff with the Cyborg Superman looks kind of interesting, so I'm going to perhaps give it a try.
Sounds like a plan.
We shall see. That's all I need is more books to try to read.
Any more news?
Not for me.
I don't have a bit of news, but I have some non-spoilery stuff to talk about. I was able to watch the Agent Carter short film this week. It's included with the Iron Man 3 DVD and Blu-ray. It's coming out next month.
That's actually at my discount theater now. Maybe I'll go see it this week.
Right, Iron Man 3?
Again, yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to let everyone know, because I'm pretty sure not all of our viewers or listeners made it to San Diego to watch this. You know, when they screened it at San Diego Comic-Con, the short film is very well done. Just a couple of non-spoilery bits. Who needs a utility belt when you've got what she's carrying? Something that's, again, non-spoilery. It's fun seeing Bradley Whitford in this film. Fans will recognize that name from The West Wing when he played Josh Lyman. That's what he's best known for. And as usual, there's a reason to keep watching through the first set of credits. So when you're watching this short film, make sure you watch the first set of credits. There's something in the mid-credits to watch for.
So the lesson learned is never... during any credit scenes in a Marvel movie.
Even if it's at home on Blu-ray or DVD, just let it play.
Which I've been doing that lately on stuff, so to no effect.
Got it. So that's it for me. What about you, Roddy Cat? Anything?
No, nothing breaking this time.
Gotcha.
That I'm seeing.
Yeah, I've actually been on Twitter tonight, so feeling a lot better than I did last week. So nothing has broke since we've hit record.
Yeah, no new movie news to report. No casting news to report.
No, yeah. Oh, I just found. Well, there was one. There was something from Newsarama said that I alluded to just a little bit ago, but it's not really that much news. It was basically, it's called If Not Groot, Who, Then 10 Other Roles Vin Diesel Could Have Played. From Newsarama. That was about it, but that's not really nothing to go into, I don't think.
Gotcha. All righty.
Okay. So now let's take a look at this week's new Comic Book Day offerings. And I haven't missed anything from Boom this week. Nope. No three guns or no six gun gorilla. So there is a Boom Studio book coming up that I want to check out. I have to hopefully remember it when I see it pop up. I can't remember the name, but something to look forward to. Dark Horse, I haven't read anything from them yet this week, but I do want to mention a few books that I will be reading. Captain Midnight number 2.
Captain Midnight.
Josh Williamson. And I need to actually read Dark Horse's emails ahead of the release date of when the comics come out, because I need to be trying to arrange some interviews with some of their writers.
Awesome.
Great.
Like they send like the stuff out like 2 weeks ahead, and they're like next to each book or whatever, they're like, so and so is available for interviews, and then like I save the books till like the day before they come out, just because I'm still reading the current day stuff. And my phone is ringing. But
it's Commissioner
Gordon. Yeah, I need to start planning some interviews. And y'all take over real quick. Let me see who this is.
Commissioner Gorder's on the phone.
Yeah, really. Tim's being called.
Oh, mercy. So there's a couple of books published by Dark Horse that we've all been sort of touching on here and there. I'm sure Tim was going to mention that Mind MGMT number 14 was published this week. There is a Star Wars Legacy. Actually, no, that's, it looks like a, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Star Wars Legacy Volume 2, number 6. And Station to Station, which is a one shot, would be something to talk about this week. Thanks for putting that up, The Mind MGMT by Matt Kint.
There we go.
Very cool. So I think Tim mentioned Itty Bitty Hellboy, number one. And just to touch on that very quickly, my understanding, if I recall correctly, this is done by the team that does Tiny Titans, Art Balthazar and Franco, I believe. I'm trying to pull that up now.
But, so that'll be good.
Right. So, you know, they definitely have experience doing youthful takes on some of these characters. So hopefully, I'm pretty sure that's going to be funny.
Yeah.
I just so for started, all the fans out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just started, I picked up Tiny Titans number one, I believe it was, off of Comixology because it was free.
Okay.
It's pretty neat because I keep hearing that was one of those ones I keep hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what, you will enjoy this book. If you don't, then you have no soul. Then.
Yeah.
And so far, yeah, it has been pretty good.
I can tell you that there's always a line, a crowd of kids around Balthazar and Franco's table at the New York Comic Cons that I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty regular guests. They've had a table there for, I would say, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. And there's always a nice crowd of kids. And, you know, and parents and adults around their table buying prints and getting sketches. It's a pretty popular place to be because they do have a lot of they definitely have a lot of exposure doing
all age books.
Exactly. Exactly. And they oftentimes find themselves seated right near Chris Giarrusso, who mm-hmm. does what is that image book that Giarrusso does? He does the Mini Marvels for Marvel.
Okay,
he has his own creator. He has his own creator-owned image book. I forget the name of it. It's escaping me at this point. But they're generally seated with the Balthazar and Franco, you know, seated nearby. So they definitely get the all ages group. Huddled around them, you know, getting sketches and whatnot. It's pretty cool.
All right, great.
It's pretty cool.
Have you checked out any of that MGMT?
I have not. I want to. Have you?
No. Like again, one of those books was like, hey, I keep seeing it, and I have heard a little buzz about it, so I will have to check that out at some point.
And of course, this is a sure sign that my Alzheimer's is early onset.
You and me both.
The Giarrusso book is called G-Man.
Ah.
It just hit me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have seen that.
It's called G-Man. Of course, his last name is Giarrusso. His hero would be called G-Man.
Of course.
So, you know, I can't believe I forgot that. Apologies to Chris Giarrusso if you're listening, if you're watching, or if this makes it out to you.
Of course he is.
I apologize. Exactly. I apologize for not remembering right away. I have so many of his sketches. Mm-hmm. You know, I have lots of sketches of his that go back years. We're talking about, you know, maybe almost 10 years back, you know, like mini Marvel sketches. That's how far back that stuff goes, believe it or not.
Right.
You know, he's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I've heard about it here and there. I just have never checked it out. So
it's cool if it's cool for all ages. And ultimately, if you have a kid that you're trying to introduce stuff to, Marvel has, you know, the Adventures, Marvel Adventures line, if you want to introduce them to Marvel heroes. But, you know, mini Marvels, if you can find it, if it's still, I don't know if it's definitely not in print anymore, but if you can find it on the shelves, you could definitely pass that on and give that to a kid, and it's definitely kid friendly.
And it's probably on Comixology. So
definitely, definitely. I was, you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I always forget that digital is out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I was kind of the old fogey on the Comic Book Chronicles that we had when we interviewed Matt Mast and his colleague Joffo,
right,
who do the Turbo Comics from France, who are working on Marvel Infinite Comics. When we did that, I was the old fogey. I always forgot that digital comics are a pretty much a new way for people to get their comics. And I'm glad that you mentioned that this is a way for people to, and I need to remember that, this is a way for people to find a lot of these titles. Hopefully Marvel's put this on Comixology or their app.
Right. And like you, in the past at least, I always print, but I have gone strictly digital now, much to the chagrin of local comic shops, although there's something I'm probably going to do something with, because I want to support, and I think I am going to start a pull list at my close one, because I love that store. But yeah, as of when I got back into it, I've gone strictly digital now, and there's only like certain stuff. Like, I know there's a couple of hardbacks that I want to get, that I definitely want to have a physical copy of. So I've just kind of gone that route. So digital for me has been pretty awesome.
I believe it. And do you go mobile with it, or do you just go do it on the computer?
Oh yeah, mobile. Yeah, totally. Because a lot of times I will be reading at work or whatever it may be. And actually, even if I'm here at home, then yeah, pop out the tablet and start reading when I get a chance.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Were you one of the ones where, if I recall, did digital get you back into reading?
Yes.
So that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. So,
well, I think that, well, it, yes, full, let's put it away. Fully it did, because, yeah, when the, like I mentioned last week, with the Spider-Man stuff, I got all of that digital. But before that, I've always kind of kept a cursory glance, and I was getting trades of stuff here and there, but then I kind of got away from doing that. But, yeah, definitely I have been on Comixology for a while and getting stuff, and they have every now and then, you know, even with some of the books that we've mentioned has had free books that they'll do, which is a good intro to the books. They'll do like the first editions, even before they did that thing they had a few months ago,
right,
where the Marvel was doing, like they'll have like free number one, like I think I got Saga number one, that one of these days I'll read.
Sure.
And actually a book that I got last week that I might mention later on that I hadn't had a chance to read, that they'll have for free, and just kind of, you know, first hits free type of deal.
Sure. Like any good drug dealer.
Definitely.
So, it's very cool that you're able to do that. Let's see if there are any books here that we can work through, because I'm pretty sure Tim didn't read any of the Dark Horse books, and I believe he mentioned that there's a bunch of DC books that he still needs to get to.
Right.
Did you happen to read any of the DC books this week?
No.
Before we go through the list.
Let's see. Reading through it. No, I can pretty safely say I haven't.
Okay. So.
No, I take that back because I forgot.
Okay.
This was,
so.
We'll
go through the list very quickly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that you had read something.
Yeah.
Before we make it through the entire list.
Yeah.
Aquaman number 23. Anybody? Bueller? I have it on my list to read. I just haven't pulled it open yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been good. I like Paul Pelletier's art. I'm hoping that this keeps it up. You know, this issue keeps up a lot of the good work that they've been doing. Let's see what's next. The Batman Incorporated Special number 1. Did you happen to read that?
No.
Oh, man. Batman Superman number 3, Greg Pak and Jay Lee. Anybody?
I keep hearing, I've listened to a couple of podcasts that say this book is pretty good, but never read it myself.
I just ran out of time this week. Literally ran out of time this week. I wanted to read it. I just couldn't. I wasn't able to read anything today. You know, I did the bulk of my reading yesterday and late last night, and, you know, until I was bleary-eyed, and I just didn't have time to do it, once I got home. So that's another book. We'll jump back when Tim's able to get back on the call, on the podcast. So if he had a chance to read this, maybe he'll have some words to something to contribute. Oh, awesome! I'm glad you're doing that.
Trying to
cover for our man Dirt Stud Monkey.
Yeah, Dirt had put up the pics in the Hangout earlier. So excellent. We'll try to go through these.
Excellent, excellent. Let's see. Oh, there's Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Lazarus?
Oh, wait. Lazarus, yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that an image book?
I think it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lazarus number 3 is an image book. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Keep that on your screen.
We'll do it.
The images.
All right. Yeah, I got it.
Excellent. Excellent.
This.
I was going to say, can you get to the DC books?
It's not in.
Oh, wait. Company order.
Yeah. But.
Wow. Look at that.
I'll try to cycle through this.
Look at that. This is why we're spoiled when Dirt Stud Monkey's doing it.
Oh, actually, it looks like it kind of is, because I see most of the Marvel stuff is inside baseball here, folks.
There you go.
Oh, it looks like it might be in some. It's in kind
of. Yeah, I see DC up there.
Yeah, so call them out. I'll pull them up.
All righty. So we were on Batman Superman number 3. Let's see if we can pull up that cover.
I don't even see that cover. Nope, I don't see it.
That's funny. Now you're going to make me look for it. Now you're going to make me look for
it. Wait, is that? No, it's Dark Knight.
That is comedy. That is Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Alphabetically, wouldn't it be right before?
Here we go. Here we go.
There you go. Yeah. That is actually a pretty interesting looking cover by Jay Lee.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, what happened?
Look at that. That is an interesting cover.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty nice.
So, unfortunately, neither of us have read it. I don't know if Tim Dog has read it. So we will circle back to that if Tim actually did read that. How about The Dark Knight number 23? You had that up before.
I did have that up before. I got to pull this up kind of way.
I love it. This is awesome.
I know, right? There we go. Oh, wait, that's not it either. Crap.
Oh, there's Injustice. There's Catwoman, which I don't think anyone read either.
No.
There we go. Clayface on the cover. The Wrath of Clayface. I know that the art in Dark Knight is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Fabok on the cover? I can't see from here.
It looks like what? Is that Alex Malev?
Oh, it is Alex Malev. Interesting.
At least it says down at the bottom. I don't know if he's the one.
He's probably doing the interior.
Yeah, because I'm seeing that's his little tag on the side. So
that's interesting. I may have to take a look at that this week because Alex, it's been a while since I've seen Malev do anything regularly for a while, on a book.
Mm-hmm.
The last I remember him was doing Daredevil. That was a long time ago.
What I miss?
Oh, not much. A bunch of DC stuff. I guess, you got the bat suit off pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, we got a. Roddy Cat's doing the images, I see.
Yes, he's subbing for Dirt this week.
Trying to. Poor substitute, but trying to something nonetheless.
Sweet. Yeah. So I didn't realize how spoiled we were, how quickly Dirt was able to get those images up there while we were talking about it.
Yeah, I actually had a couple of images I was going to pull in later on, but I didn't have a chance. So.
Yeah, so Tim, all we did was we chit-chat about digital comics, and we jumped through Dark Horse, and we just started DC. So if you had any DC books that you wanted to talk about, alphabetically, we're only up to Batman The Dark Knight 23.
All right. On the list. I'm actually going to jump back to Dark Horse real quick and finish that one off. So yeah, go Captain ahead. Midnight number 2, got to check that out. The Itty Bitty Hellboy number 1, I'm going to check out. And maybe even Mind Management number 14, because I read 13, even though I kind of don't know what's going on.
Is that where you jumped in, or you had...
I, I jumped in on 13, I guess, last month.
Okay.
Because I heard, you know, Matt Kent is like the hot writer now. So now, DC, you said you were on Detective?
Dark Knight. But if you wanted to talk about All-Star Western or Aquaman,
well,
feel free.
Yeah, since I actually haven't read but like two or one DC book this week, I really don't have much to offer. I can tell you what I'm going to read this weekend. And that's why I forgot to – I guess we can do it at the end of it. I'm trying to remind myself next week before we start going over the week's books, we'll talk about the books we read over the weekend that
right.
came last week because I jotted those down. But I'm going to read Aquaman 23, Batman Superman number 3, Flash 23.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Detective on here.
No, it's not. It's not. It was Dark Knight. Batman the Dark Knight.
Oh, that's the digital book, right? Oh, Batman the Dark Knight.
Yes. 23.
So what's going on in there? Is that the one that I saw with
With Clayface.
Clayface on it?
Yeah, we were just remarking on the art team, on the art on the book, because Alex Malev or Malev is listed as the artist, and that's pretty cool. I haven't seen his work on a regular monthly book for a long time.
Yeah, last time I saw him was in the backup story, and was it Batman? Was in Batman actually? Right before Zero Year started, when Batman was taking on Clayface, and there was like a backup with Alex Maleev and Batman Superman taking on some mystical person thing.
Oh wow! You remember that far better than I do. I remember that story. I don't remember the art on that. I was telling Roddy Cat that I go back to when Maleev was doing his long run on Daredevil with Bendis, and that's years ago. That's the last time I remember seeing him on a regular book.
Yeah, I just wish I remembered what regular issue the backups took place in. I want to say I think it was that Batman story where he was taking on Clayface.
Okay.
But so after that, Catwoman 23, I gave that up a couple issues ago, so no more. Oops. And I see the book that Roddy Cat probably wants to speak on.
Haha.
The Federal Bureau of Physics number 2, aka yes. Formerly Collider.
Yes, if I can pull it up here.
Are you just getting that from the Google Plus page?
Yeah.
Nice. That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, looks like that. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's not like an
app. Why are they doing that? Yeah.
Well,
it keeps pushing me ahead. But anyway. But yes, I like how they, and I just noticed this, I like how they have collided, kind of the word collider covered up.
It's obscured,
behind
right.
the badge looking thing, yeah. So yeah, Federal Bureau of Physics, aka Collider, which had its name changed because of legal issues. It's good. There is no real action to, well, I mean, it's pretty much still building the story. Like, it's basically the plot is thickening because, in the last one, we were introduced to pretty much the characters and the main guy, Adam Hardy, who's the name guy. In this issue, you kind of get a little bit more backstory into him and his partner. Or more him becoming partners with his now partner, who's been around a while, and you know, he's kind of like the old school. I guess it's supposed to be like the FBI that we know of, but they just kind of deal with way more than the regular stuff. There is something that happened at the end of the last book that they start investigating this book. And I like this book because there's a lot of it kind of touches a little nerdy side, because there's a lot of, I presume, real science put into some of the explanations, because there's one part where they're explaining, you know, they're kind of debriefing the missions that they're going on, and there's kind of a lot of science going through that, and there is also some slight undertones of corruption and some political things, but which does not really show up much in this issue, but you can see a lot of that gonna start playing out as the book unfolds.
Okay. So Ooh. Something to look out for.
Yeah, it is really, I think it's something to kind of check out. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the heroes and capes, and in this world of there are none, but, you know, things kind of happen to where, like, gravity might go crazy, or some anomalies happen to where, in this case, like, there's a bubble universe that pops up, and they have to go in and save some people who got caught up in it. And they are the ones that are tasked to do such things. So it is worth a try. And the art is actually pretty pretty good. It's pretty much indicative of what you see on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is appealing to you, check it out.
Check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Would that be the non-superhero book of the week? We'll see. We'll see by the end of the night. Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have. Oh yeah, we need to. I need to pick a book for this week. Let's see, Flash number 23, and I believe in this one we actually find out who the Reverse Flash is. So, I'm interested in that. Have you checked that out, Agent 70?
No, not yet. That's on my list of books to pick to look at after we're done. I was just telling Roddy Cat while you were away answering the bat phone. There was just a bunch of books I could not get to today at all. You know, all the bulk of my reading was yesterday. I just couldn't get to stuff today. So
yeah, that's kind of how I was. Couldn't get to it, but that's what the weekend is for. Next up, the Green Team, Teen Trillionaires number 4. It's one of my personal favorite books, but of course I haven't read it yet. But I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Justice League number 23. Yep.
The finale of the Trinity War.
Trinity War in. So, who besides me has read it?
I did. I read it. How about you, Roddy Cat?
No. I haven't kept up on Justice League at all. I think I read the very first issue, and that was it.
That was enough.
Well, no, it wasn't enough. It's just that I was like, you know what? I will come back to this at some point to catch up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what'd you think, Tim?
I liked it because, you know, we had already got the spoiler of the Crime Syndicate were the villains behind everything, but there were still some surprises in store that we couldn't predict. Namely, who the traitor in Justice League was.
Right.
And I guess that's not not too much of a surprise about who the outsider was, since right. We knew the Crime Syndicate was involved. Oh, yeah, I guess like the whole how the Trinity name actually alludes to something else. You know, everyone would think, you know, the Trinity War does it involve Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, or is it just because of the three Justice League teams coming together, but it's really because of the Crime Syndicate coming from Earth 3. And the Pandora's Box is a artifact from Earth 3, and it's not magical, it's scientific in nature.
I'm so tired of these multiple realities. What can you do? What can you do? You know,
that was my one gripe with DC was all the Earths.
I always harp on it. I know all the DC fanboys are going to be up in arms. But if you're going to try to keep things clear to new readers, why on earth would you complicate things with all these multiple realities? What can you do?
Yeah, I think I said this on Twitter probably in the last couple of days. I was like, are they just trying to build back up so they can have another crisis again?
It's a never-ending vicious cycle.
Yeah, because I remember that whole...
You're back down.
Yeah, because I remember like, the whole run-up before New 52 was like there was a crisis, seemed like every other week, and then Flashpoint happened, and it was like, right, this is it. We're not doing that. And then New 52 came in, and it was like, well, hey... I guess that's gonna cleaned up the slate, and then you start, you know, Earth 2 came back into the picture, I guess.
Yeah, Earth 2 came back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And not Earth 3.
I always take some time traveling stories or time traveling alternate realities over just different Earths. That's my one thing against DC all along.
Yeah, I can understand. It's a very fine line between those two types of storytelling. You know, the difference between alternate realities and just literally alternate Earths that are, you know, invading one another. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm all for this. And I thought by the end of Trinity War, the heroes were supposed to be quote unquote dead, and then the villains take over. But actually, you know, the big battle is going to start in Forever Evil. So that was unexpected.
Well, how long is it going to last, really? I guess it's going to last through the Forever Evil. I'm presuming that there's going to be a Forever Evil limited series, correct?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of limited series. There's the Forever Evil Argus. It's like a 6-issue limited series from Matt Kent again.
Okay.
And so that's one. I think there's a Rogues, Forever Evil Rogues, the Flash's villains.
Mm.
That's just two off the top of my head.
Okay. Right, and that's not including all the books being taken over by all the villains. I got you.
Yeah, which start next week. And I tweeted about this earlier today, but man.
Doesn't it start next week?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of books out next week.
Man.
DC, like, go through DC's, like, everything. It's a whole bunch of villains issues next week. And then there's then Forever Evil number one is out. Then Battle of the Atom number one is out for X-Men. And then Infinity number two
is out. That's going to be a rough review time for us.
Yeah, and I think, like, some books, like, I remember hearing about it, like, some books have, like, three, like, they have, like, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 for whatever Vision villain that's going to be about. That's going to be a mess.
Big mess. Big
mess. Yeah, big huge mess. Huge
I do
mess.
Not envy you guys in that one.
Well, it's actually going to be good for me because a lot of these villains' issues, I'm not reading.
Wow. Well, there you go.
I mean, for review purposes, we're going to try to read as many as we can.
Oh, I mean, even for the review purposes. some of the ones I don't care about.
I got you.
Yeah. So, DC, I'll be skimping on some of the DC stuff. I skimp on it when it comes to these shows already, because by the time the show starts, I haven't read any of them yet.
It's funny. All righty. Speaking of things we don't read, Larfleeze, number 3. That is next on our list. Larfleeze, number 3. I didn't have anything to contribute about Justice League 23, so. I read it. I was pretty indifferent to it, so that's why I jumped straight to Larfleeze, number 3.
Red Lantern's number 23.
Hold on. I'm going to go back and say it. Why does Larfleeze have a book and Cyborg does not?
Might have to do with what happens in Justice League.
Yes, that's something else that happens in Justice League 23.
Play the ominous music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I did hear about that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, it's funny that I'm glad that you mentioned that to him. I glossed over that because I was just very disappointed in seeing that.
Yeah, it was surprising. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, anything like that, right? Anything that surprises is sometimes, you know, a lot of times it's just good.
I was just want to see where it leaves him after.
Right.
So, you know, one of those things to keep an eye on, of course, in Forever Evil.
Okay. All righty. What are we on next? Red Lanterns 23. Anybody?
Yep. I'll be reading it this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I've started reading it since the whole since Chris Soule took over.
Okay. Yeah, this is not on my list of things to read.
I mean, it's nothing I actively look forward to, but I read it.
Okay.
Actually, I read all the Green. Well, I can't say that because I don't read Larfleeze. I was gonna say I read all the Green Lantern books. Next up, Superman 23.
Anybody?
Tabs.
There you go. You just passed it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you don't have to actually show it if you didn't read it. none of us read it. I see Hector Hammond on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Big hit. Talon number 11. I will read it this weekend. And that is getting close to my drop list.
Mm.
It started so well, and now they've switched artists, and I don't like the new artists. So they've used a couple, I think. So I see Bane is on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Looking Bane-ish. And go ahead and read it.
Yeah. I was about to say that this is gonna bring me back to Dark Knight, but I'm not gonna pull that up. Never mind.
Why? Were you going to do an invitation?
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Oh, like Bane sounded like some kind of Yoda-fied Deckard Cain or something. Like, that was ridiculous.
Dorgika says, it's the same reason why we will see an Inhumans movie before a Black Panther movie. Aliens are easier to relate to than black folk.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Semi-true.
Yeah, I'm about to say sad, but true.
He also mentioned earlier something I retweeted. Tim Curry would have made an extra creepy Ultron. His it still gives folks nightmares. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
Next up is... So, yeah, Talon. I'm gonna keep reading, but it's getting close to Teen Titans territory.
Oh, speaking of Teen Titans, that's out this week too.
Anybody? Transition. Teen Titans number 23. Nope. Did not read.
Shout out to Eclectic, who I saw tweeted this week or posted this week somewhere, that one of the books he's reading this week is Teen Titans. And I asked him, and I mentioned that, you know, I'm a longtime fan. I just can't get into reading the new version. And what he says is that he benefits from not having any history with the character, so he's reading the book. You know, which is good and bad, I guess. You know, it sucks that they're not able to appeal to any of the longtime fans, but if they're able to get somebody to read it, you know, who's not usually reading it, then, you know, more power to them.
Yeah, I don't really have much back history with the Titans either, but I'm still not... I still didn't enjoy Teen Titans, put it that way. Yeah, and I want to. I like Teen Titans. Like, I saw someone mention this on the thing on Google Plus. There's the comic book community, which a lot of people are a part of and post stuff on. And I forgot how the discussion of DC stuff came up, but someone made a good point of how the legacy characters suffered the most from the New 52 reboot. Because, like, the history with the Robins is all screwed up, and Wally West, and Donna Troy.
Right.
Superboy,
right.
So, they're the ones that got hurt. Actually, probably would have been better if they weren't even introduced when the New 52 relaunched. Like, if they're going to start from scratch, it should have just been, like, their first, whatever, legacy heroes. Like, just Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman and Flash, Green Lantern, just have it be Hal to begin with.
Well, if you think about it, if they were going to start fresh, there would be no legacy heroes.
Yeah.
You would have to have these heroes create legacies first.
Start it all back over.
If that's really what they wanted to do, and then have these, you know, have these younger heroes later on take up these mantles as sidekicks or junior versions of the actual heroes. If that's what they were going to do, fine, but that's not what they ended up doing, and they ended up shafting all these great characters who a lot of us grew up with.
Because his name, Dick Grayson, would have been Robin.
Exactly, and just left it like that.
Young
started
Robin.
From scratch. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
But God forbid, you know, you can't do anything with the Batman universe. Remember, they didn't really change all that much of the Batman universe because Morrison still had that crazy story to tell where Damian had to be killed. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And you don't really know, well, I guess you do really kind of know what has happened in that particular part of the universe, right? Because, you know, I have seen people talk about, well, did this happen? Did this not happen? There's been allusions. I hear there's been allusions to stuff that did actually happen, you know, but didn't seem to be meshing up with New 52. So it's a weird thing they're doing over there.
It's just picking and choosing, really. All right, anything else? All right. Tom Strong and the Planet of Peril, number two. Anybody?
I read number one, but didn't intrigue me enough to read number two. So we'll not be checking that out. The cover looked nice, though. I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that in the scroll.
Oh, that's yeah. What the hell? Oops.
Oh, there, I saw it again. I want to point with my mouse. There it is.
Exactly. You can't see my mouse pointer either. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, whoever that guy is on the cover there with the cape and the mask.
All right, that's pretty cool.
All right. So that's DC. Anyone read any Dynamite? Nope.
What is on Dynamite now?
Are you following the same list we're following, by the way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was going to send you the link if not.
Nah, I got it. Dresden Files book I was going to look into because I'm a fan of the show and have been reading the books, but I haven't checked it out. So,
what book?
The Dresden Files.
Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files, Ghoul yep. Goblin, number 6 or 6.
Which, if you haven't, it's on Netflix, and the show is great.
I was like, what the hell y'all talking about? Adrian Sif. I've heard that name before.
Siaf? I don't know. I don't know how it's pronounced.
Is that a cover?
Yeah.
Say something. Yes. Body cut.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Oh, cool. Okay. There was some IDW stuff that I haven't read yet, but I want to read. See, G.I. Joe number 7 for those.
I read that one.
Oh. Thoughts? So.
This continues to be a pretty good book. So, cool. I think it has nothing to do with the other one that's going on. That's taken up from the Marvel book. This is basically G.I. Joe's gone public some kind of way. And, this book, this particular issue takes place after, that mission, that particular first mission kind of goes wrong, but it's gets dealt with. There's some things that in this book that's kind of they've changed a couple of things. Like I think Duke's with Cover Girl sort of kind of, and I think if this book is alluding to it, it seems like there is a tie-in to Special Missions, which is also around, but I don't think it came out because I know that Scarlet is leading. So and that's cover is
the sister book, right?
Yeah, it seems to be. And I don't know if they're going to like tie some crossover together or not, but it sounds like at the end of this book, there's going to start a little, not an event, but pretty much another.
It's like a crossover?
Arc. Yeah, well, it didn't say anything about a crossover, but pretty much another arc and that may crossover. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And this cover is indicative, is kind of slightly misleading based on what happens in the book.
You mean Snake Eyes doesn't show up and start cutting through people?
Well,
and it's not drawn by.
Well, he does show up in the book. I will say that.
Okay.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, he is actually in Special Missions, which I have not. I think I've been picking up, but I haven't read. But yeah,
I like how G.I. Joe and Transformers have two books that like run parallel to each other.
Right.
Which I'm just now learning from last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I remember when one of our previous shows, Dirt was talking up the Transformers Water Meets the Eye and
Regeneration. Was that the other one?
No, not Regeneration. The one that ties in with runs parallel to Mortar Meets the Eye.
Gotcha.
Is it on this list here? No, Mortar Meets the Eye. There's another one.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
I don't think it's Regeneration 1. Damn it. But it's another Transformer saying in the title.
Like, you got me.
I can't think of it. But so, yeah, for that reason, I'm going to try to read this week's Transformers Mortar Meets the Eye number 20. Because one story deals with the Autobots and Decepticons trying to live together peacefully on Cybertron. And I think that's one where Bumblebee's the star. And then there's another one with Hot Rod leading the Force, a team out in space to do something.
Right. Yeah, I said I was going to check back with these books. I think I did read either some panels or one, where particularly that one you just mentioned about Bumblebee. I think he's like either the lead or the head. He's like governing over a section or something like that. I can't remember what the deal was, but it seemed like something I want to kind of go back and check out.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure Agent 70 is probably going to want to mention this next book, Godzilla Rulers of Earth number 3.
Yeah, I read it. I was very disappointed in it. It's rapidly gone downhill since the first two issues.
Oh, no.
One of the reasons why the Godzilla book that garnered so much attention this past year, the Half Century War, was so good was that the human characters were interesting, and you were able to vest your interest into them and maintain that interest throughout the series. This is, I believe, a limited series, but it doesn't say so on the solicit. It says Rulers of Earth number 3, but you know, the human characters in this, you know, there's a soldier in this that's, I guess, supposed to be the main character right now, and he's just very blah, very generic. There's nothing special about him at all. So, you know, and the action is pretty disjointed. So I'm very disappointed where the story is going. If this doesn't improve by the next issue, I'm going to stop reading it. Very sad.
Ah, so Adam Black just chimed in. Robots in Disguise is.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Thank you, Adam Black, the other Rodney in my life.
Nice.
His name.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That I was going to bring up. Have either of you noticed the? You mentioned that it's supposed to be a miniseries that's not numbered. Have you noticed that that's kind of been overall the case lately?
For who?
For pretty much any, well, I guess speaking to Marvel particularly, because I don't recall, like I think we'll probably get to one of them now. Well, maybe that one is numbered actually, but I have seen miniseries in the past, in recent history, that have not been numbered as such. Like I think the last one I actually remember seeing was Five Weapons, and I think Thanos Rising is now, but they weren't in the beginning, or maybe I'm misremembering. Hmm. So, seem like they've gone away from doing that, or specifically saying this is, you know, whatever issue of this. And actually, I'm probably making a lie to myself because I think that Ninja Turtles one did it. So never mind.
Great. So I'm sure some book did it.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen books where that has happened. It's like, wait, this is a miniseries, but you really didn't say so. But I am seeing some stuff.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Jericho, season 4, number 4, anybody? Bueller? Who? Anything else in IDW? Wait, Teenage Mutant, Ninja Turtles. Wait, Durs. I was about to say, Dirt's not here. We're not talking about My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 10.
Man, we gave it a shout out just now, though.
That's right. We're thinking of you, Dirt.
But did you read TMNT?
I skimmed it. I didn't have a lot of time to read it.
I, of course, haven't opened it yet. It will be on the mention next week when I talk about stuff I read over the weekend.
Yeah, I think so too. We'll make sure to bring that up because I'll make time to read it in more depth. I literally, you know, skimmed it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm enjoying the City Fall storyline. I know a frequent viewer, even though he probably not watching tonight, Variant Dash is a Turtles fan also. Next up, so we're done with IDW. Image had not that many books this week. People following the Lazarus series had issue 3 this week.
Right.
Morning Glories number 30, which was that off the show or on the show? I said I'm going to try to read it.
Off the show.
Actually, I think you may have mentioned that, or maybe in the past, maybe not recently, but.
I think it was before the show, but either way, I read a nice article on Comic Book Resources last night from the writer, Nick Spencer, who also was writing Secret Avengers, which came out this week for Marvel. And he was sort of breaking the series down and talking about, I guess, like season two or, you know, part two, or I think they called it seasons. Like season two just ended, so I guess season three is starting, and it involves teenagers and some of them have powers and they're going to a school. And I was like, hey, that sounds like stuff I like. So I will be giving this a read this week. Morning Glories. And it's going, oh, it's moving to bi-weekly schedule. So I'll have a lot to be reading of it. I see nothing else from Image to bring up.
Roddy Cat, anything from you? On Image?
No. Let's see. Oh, wait. Well, I haven't read it. But Sex Number 6 came out. I bought it. Have not read it. I also want to check out Mind the Gap because I keep hearing about that one, but I have not read.
I want to say, I thought Mind the Gap number 12 came out last week. Or maybe weeks ago.
Maybe. I don't know. This book says 13. But
I know it says 13 because I remember I downloaded 12 because I was like, I hear a lot of stuff about this too. I'm going to read it and never haven't read it yet.
But that could be just variant.
So I'll probably end up taking it. Actually, I skimmed it. And I mean, it looked all right, but I'll probably end up replacing it with Morning Glories as my Image book to read. And I kept saying I need to go back and read Lazarus number 1, but I remember I skimmed it the first time and it didn't really interest me enough. So maybe that's another one I don't need to try to force myself to read. Because there's some other stuff coming out to take its place. Like a Protocol number 1, I think, comes out. And I forget if it's Image or. Sounds like an Image book. It's from Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting, basically doing the same type of stuff they were doing with Captain America. And I think that comes out in the next couple of weeks or sometime in September.
Oh, that'll be cool. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, so I want to check that out. So I don't need to give Lazarus too much of my time. My time is precious when I try to read everything. So I guess Marvel, which had a crap load of stuff. A plus X number 11.
I read it. It's a waste of time.
Kind of how about A plus X series.
But what was cool about this book was that the art on the two stories were done by kind of old school Marvel artists. The first story with Thor and Magic from the Uncanny X-Men had art by Mark Teixeira, who used to do Ghost Rider. He was famous for doing Ghost Rider. So, and he's done a lot of other stuff too. He did the Punisher in Space book too recently. It was nice to see him doing some old school superhero stuff. And the second story in the book featured the Superior Spider-Man and Cyclops. And it was the art was done by Ron Lim, who a lot of people remember from long stints on the Silver Surfer and the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, and Infinity Crusade from the mid 90s. So it was nice to see him getting back into the game.
Didn't Mark Teixeira do a part on the first? No, that was Jake. That was who did the Pit? Dale Keown. Never mind, I'm getting mixed up.
No, Teixeira's Image book was a Union.
I never read that.
Yeah, that was his book. He did Union.
So my brother, Adam Black, sent a tweet. Here's Tim Dog hoping Morning Glories is like X-Men. Exactly. all I had to hear was kids and powers and putting to school.
That's funny.
And Dork Geekus says A plus S lost its steam. Last interesting story was the Adam Warren and Chris Anka stories.
Okay.
You have to actually tell us who the characters were in the
story. Yeah, exactly. That's how I'll remember it.
Yeah. And I still probably won't remember it.
I tried to read it.
I mean, if you want a nice continuity free book to read with two short stories in them, then give A plus X a read.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And shout out to Classic Materia. who's a Cyclops fan, so he ought to be. I don't know if you picked this up, but
Actually, yeah, you're probably right. Classic material. You need to pick up this book because it actually does have a fairly decent characterization of Cyclops in it. So,
because yes, we know, you know you're not on the show. We know you're watching.
That's right.
Or listening.
Classic material.
The audio portion of the podcast, which I put out like a week after the shows, because I'm slow like that. Yeah, your show that you were on last week, I'll put that up high this weekend, Roddy Cat, so you can start telling folks, hey, I'm on a podcast.
And that reminds me of a dumb joke I was going to make, but I guess I'll do it right now. It's like, you know what? Hey, I'm trying to build up my official history of the Click Nation's official history of the Comic Book Chronicles page. So this is going to be good for that. I'm excited.
Astonishing X-Men number 66, series I'm not reading.
I read this, I believe. I'm looking for my notes on this. Looking. I don't see them. I did read this. I'm just going off of memory now. This was kind of a cool, not a filler issue, but definitely where this particular group of X-Men, which is mostly the X-Men that are in X-Men, in Wolverine and the X-Men, they're basically getting some downtime in and decompressing and trying to get some family quality time in. It's actually an interesting book in that regard. This issue is interesting in that regard. So if you're into the X-Men as a family interaction, you definitely want to pick up this book.
Next up. Oh, I almost clicked the X to close this window. That would have been bad. Avengers Arena number 14. I did read.
All right, what'd you think?
So this is the, I forget what they're calling. Do you have the cover up?
Yep, right now.
Yeah, it's X-23.
Does it have the title of this arc on it?
It says Murder World in the corner, but no.
It's like Endgame or something like that, End of School or something they're calling it, the last couple issues for the series, because it's ending. Yay. Or is it?
Right.
This iteration of it will be ending.
Right.
So they're going to rebrand it in number two, in phase two, I guess, of Marvel now?
Wave two. Phase two. DC does the phases.
Yeah, which Marvel I heard another Wave. Book is gonna that we will get to is probably going to do that or rumored to do that, but we'll get to that when we get there.
So, Avengers Arena, more character stuff, got some fighting, got the history of Cullen, who's from the Braddock Academy. His name's right. Cullen Bloodstone, who is the brother of
Elsa
Bloodstone. Elsa,
right? He's the younger Bloodstone from the Bloodstone family.
Who we saw appear in the last Fearless Defenders issue.
Shout out to Next Wave.
Right, Next Wave.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Next Wave is awesome.
Yeah, you should read it. It's good.
Yes, you should read that. Yes.
Yeah, Warren Ellis wrote it. It's pretty good. It's like it only lasted for 12 issues. So
I'm not the biggest Warren Ellis fan.
Oh, but it was a good series.
Yeah, but it really was.
He ruined Stormwatch, turned into Authority. Oh, yeah. So, Dirk Geekus had some tweets. He said that the Anka story in A plus X was the Phantom X and Black Widow.
Okay.
And Adam Warren did the Scarlet Witch and Domino. Okay. So I did flip through that issue. That's about all I can say for it.
And he says that despite all the controversy this book gets, Dennis Hopeless writes an interesting story. It is. It's definitely interesting. Avengers Arena.
Yeah, I like it. You know, Dirk Geekus between with the Hopeless and Sam Humphries on Twitter all the time. I'll be seeing.
There you go.
That's because I actually replied to their tweets.
So it's kind of funny that in this book, X-23 is on a trigger scent rampage.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the trigger scent gets sprayed and all of a sudden it's raw.
Berserker raid.
Berserker barrage.
Speaking of which, I'm kind of digging this. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying that's a Capcom reference. Berserker Barrage.
Oh, yeah.
So Cullen Bloodstone was named after Cullen Bunn. Was Cullen Bunn a Next Wave person?
No.
Next Wave was just a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a.
Well, I mean, they were a group, but the. Yeah.
I think of it like Vertigo. I keep wanting to say like Next Wave was like Vertigo for DC, like a subsection of the.
Well, it was in mainstream Marvel.
Right. Reading it, it doesn't seem is like that it on, is, but...
Hey, wait a minute, Roddy Cat, you're... Well, actually, I don't need to ask you. I was going to say, you're on...
Yes, it is Marvel. On Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, okay. That's all I need to know. I was about to go look up in the app now, but... Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess we could talk about that in news. Marvel Unlimited Plus.
Yeah. I don't know if that's so much of a news, though.
Pay more, and you get a variant copy of Avenger Age of Ultron number 10, which I wouldn't want anyway.
Yeah.
But you get an Ultron, limited edition Ultron statue.
Yeah, which that might be kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then you get like free entry to stuff, mm-hmm. events. If I actually went to a whole bunch of conventions a year, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, you know, I would think going forward you probably should be, but you know, I don't know how that works out.
Yeah. So Next Wave, hold on. Well, y'all, what was on my mind? Let me add that to my Evernote list of books to read. I told y'all. Y'all want to hear my list? We can go
off the rails. No, I'm sure it's very long.
We can go off the rails here for a minute.
I was like, I kind of want to, but yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But okay. I mean, we're not doing it right now. But
yeah, I'm trying to get to the note. But while I look that up.
I like this cover. It's the classic Wolverine pose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's his offspring.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, him and offspring don't do too well.
No?
Check a little later.
I was about to say, hey, this one is still alive, sort of, bro.
Yeah, she's a clone. Yeah, this is definitely reminiscent of the Wolverine Limited Series number one, Frank Miller.
Where is my... Is Next Wave on my list? Nope. But next... Right, Next Wave.
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't read everything on my list because some of the stuff I have gotten to. But I will start with... Okay, so the original... Not original, but the X-Force, the Dark X-Force team before it became Uncanny. The one with... Yost was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Invincible, which I've brought up on Twitter a number of times. The Invincible Iron Man.
Okay.
I can take House of M off of this list because I actually read it. And Civil War. Powers from Brian Michael Bendis.
That's on my list.
Secret War, singular. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I need to read the back issues of TMNT, current book going on for IDW. So then I have all the cosmic... event books, Annihilation, Conquest, War of Kings, Realm of Kings, Thanos Imperative, Annihilators, Batman, Death of the Family, which the hardcover comes out in October. It's actually kind of cheap on Amazon now. It's like $17. You can get it.
Okay.
Ultimates, Divided We Fall, which Dirt recommended.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go back and read Spider Island and Ends of the Earth and Amazing Spider-Man.
Hmm.
I want to read the Young Avengers original series and the Dark Reign Young Avengers miniseries because Mark Brooks did the art on that, and I like his art.
If you don't have it, add Children's Crusade, Children's Crusade.
I got that as a birthday gift last year from Adam Black.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was nice. Jim Chung.
Yep.
Shout out to Jim Chung. Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that. I hung some artwork up in the house this past weekend. So, like, I got four prints signed at MegaCon in Orlando in March, and I got the black and yellow Iron Man armor art from Jim Chung, got that signed. I have that hanging up. I have a picture from the Children's Crusade from Chung hanging up. Shout-outs to Classic Material because he got me at New York Comic Con, I think, last year, he mm-hmm. got me the Avengers Assemble number one Mark Bagley cover signed by him, just the cover, and I got that hanging up. And then shout-outs to independent artist, Sihad Shah, I think that's his name. He gave me a free signed Hulk image he did. So I got that hanging up. So I need to add more. I need more art.
Cool.
There you go. Get the man cave proper.
That's right.
Yeah. Captain America number 10, which I did a review for. Check that out on theclicknation.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a review for it, and someone like told me the book sucked in the comments.
What?
I mean, he had good he or she, whoever it was. I think they signed in as the username no.
Really?
So, not sure who it was. They weren't happy with some stuff Remender did.
I'm not happy with some stuff Remender did too.
Yeah, I was gonna say they weren't mad at my review. They were mad because I enjoyed the book, and I guess I didn't bash it enough.
I had my problems with this issue, but I liked where. You know, I liked how he wrapped it up. You know, I think if we pulled up the tapes of past Comic Book Chronicles, you'll definitely hear me complain about how long the story was taking. And I can't believe the story took, you know, 10 issues to tell.
It's funny, though.
I don't think it was a 10-issue story at all.
This took 10 issues, and I complained mostly throughout most of it. But the Thor God of Thunder opening art by Jason Aaron took 11 issues, I believe, right. And I had no problem with it because it was good.
Oh, well, it must have flowed better than apparently this one is doing then.
Actually, looking back at it, I can see it did drag in some parts, but I mean, I was enjoying the series so much because of the three Thors and all the time travel and the humor Aaron was using in it that I didn't mind it at all. Plus, the art was a lot better than this freaking... Who is this? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about a legend. Yeah, I'm talking about a legend here, but yeah.
Listen, I go back long ways with John Romita Jr. I've seen a lot of his best work. I was not a fan of what he was doing on this at all. You know, it was a lot. It was very. I agree with your review in that it was very hard to follow the story, and I can understand the points that put on your review on www.theclicknation.com on your review that you posted. I don't agree with some of his points. I don't know if this is a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Wait. Spoiler alert. There is a death in this issue. I don't know if this person's being fridged, quote unquote. And I also don't know that the depiction of Joe Rogers and Sarah Rogers, Steve Rogers' parents, were all that off. I just think that they haven't been characterized. And
oh, were you the one that commented?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
That's the same thing the person said. They were like,
no, I'm reading off their review.
Oh, okay.
I'm reading off their review. I don't know if I agree with the characterization totally, but at the same time, I don't think Remender was that far off. You know, I don't agree with this particular critic. Or this commenter on your review who says that Remender has no understanding. I think he does. I just think that he has, you know, Remender's kind of twisted that way. And he has a vision of Steve Rogers that I don't think a lot of people have. You know, he's trying to rebuild, he's trying to build up this character to be this, you know, to reach a breaking point. You know, he's actually deconstructing this character so that he reaches a breaking point. And, you know, it's actually what he says in some interviews that came out after this issue came out. He has interviews out on Newsarama and on CBR.
I need to read both of them, even though yes. They both say the same things. I think
no, they do. No, they see different things. They see different things. They say slightly different things. But ultimately, you know, I think Remender has a vision for this. I want to see it through. I think... A lot of us will be, a lot of the readers, the longtime fans will be jumping back on board because Cap is going to be back in the present. I just don't think that Remender should have done all this deconstructing and going back into, you know, Steve Rogers' childhood. But I guess everyone's looking for their own way to, you know, put their own mark on a character. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm interested in it and I'll see where it goes. I don't think this particular character being fridged was a good idea. You know, I don't agree that it was being fridged, but I just don't think it was a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I guess you can get mad at him for doing that, but it's not like he hasn't fridged male characters either, so it's almost kind of a fair game when it comes to Reminder.
Right. So,
that's the way I look at it.
No, that's true. I agree with that.
It's the, I guess the reason I didn't, like,
I mean, this is the guy that killed the, whatchamacallit, the Apocalypse Child. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Killed Phantom X. But
not really.
Three times.
So
same thing with another character in this issue. Spoiler.
Yeah. So ultimately, I was pretty unhappy about that because I think Brubaker did a lot to bring that particular character to prominence.
Yeah, I can understand during his run.
So I just wasn't really appreciative of that. But I'm glad that this particular storyline is over and Cap is gonna be back in the modern world starting the next issue.
And he he made him a man out of time again.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I like about Remender, besides the crazy stuff he does in his books, is I like his interviews. Because I read his interviews where he's talking about
Uncanny Avengers. He's a cool guy. Like, he's actually a cool guy.
Like, he'll let you know what's coming up, but doesn't spoil anything. And, like, he'd be having me psyched to read his stuff.
He's definitely good at that.
I can't wait to see what he does in Uncanny Avengers. After
Have either of you met interviews. Him at a con?
It's funny because no. I thought no? he'd be some, like, I thought he was this old guy.
No, he's a young guy.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. He's actually really cool. And just like you said, he's very enthusiastic about how he explains what's going to be coming up in the story. And he's got this story pretty tightly scripted and plotted out through the first 25 issues. So like I was saying before, he's got a vision and a plan for Cap. I just don't know if I agree with the mark that he's trying to put on the character.
And I was going to say, part of the reason why I didn't mind the ending, because I'm not that invested in Cap as a character because I've never cared about him. So I was like, okay, yeah, do whatever you want with him. And that's something else he said in an interview that took to heart was he had said, I forget who, I think Steve Wacker or someone had told him, you can't be afraid to like break these, you know, poster characters, like, you know, people like Cap. Like, most people would think, you know, I'll pitch this idea for Cap. I know they're not going to, there's no way they're going to accept it because this is really going to screw with Captain America. And it's like you have to sort of try to at least attempt to take chances with these characters to tell an interesting story.
That's true.
So,
all right.
Cap.
Dork Geek chimes in.
Yeah, read what he was
saying. That Dork Geek is bailed on Remender's Cap. It was more painful than a root canal at times. I feel you on that one, Dorky.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to the next arc because Carlos Pacheco is coming on for arc.
Right.
And it comes out in 2 weeks. So.
And the next comment that Dorgeekus contributes is it a true fridging because, spoiler alert, died to save Cap and not to motivate him? So that was my point. I didn't want to get into the real details, but it wasn't a motivation as much as part of the story and part of how Cap gets out of Dimension Z. Dorky, because also says, Remender seems cool and I appreciate him for correcting the mess that was Apocalypse's backstory and giving Deadpool a soul. I can appreciate that. I agree with that. That's a very good point.
And Adam Black says, I didn't like Remender's arc so far on Cap, but maybe the next arc with Pacheco would be good. And he also said something about the Power series from the Image years was the best. The Icon years, not so much. Is that the Bendis Powers?
Yes. And Avon Omen.
I thought that was a Marvel Icon book anyway.
Yeah, I thought it was always a
not original
Icon book.
Oh, okay. It started at Image?
It started at Image.
Oh. See, I'm trying to step my hardcover book game up. You know, I've gone pretty much all digital.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Save storage.
Yeah, while you were away saving Gotham, we were talking about, you know, how our collecting habits have evolved. So Roddy Cat wants to get into the hardcover or at least the trade paperback game.
Right.
Yeah, I wanna get trade or hardcovers or trades for the stuff I really enjoy. Like go back and read the read it in full one sitting. Okay, Captain Marvel number 15, Infinity tie-in.
I read this. And how about so you, Tim? Tim, you read it?
I'll read it. It'll be read this weekend.
Okay. Well, Roddy, what do you think?
So overall, I love this book and have nice. Since it started. Now, this particular issue, I don't know if you felt like this, but I felt like I missed an issue because coming out of the last issue, you would think the end of that would have, or maybe I'm just spoiled in that, but I was thinking that it would have tied more into, like, say, what happened after last issue, but it doesn't. It just kind of goes into it. Basically, this is the tie-in to Infinity number 2 as seeing...
Infinity number 1, yeah.
The Infinity, yeah, excuse me, number 1 through the eyes of Captain Marvel. And, it was done pretty well. You know, right. They just kind of glossed over, like I said, what kind of happened, but I kind of wanted to see, was like, okay, so how did she get from space or what, basically what ended up, the repercussions of what ended up happening to her, but they kind of go through that in the beginning of it. But, I felt like it was kind of missing. But outside of that, it was a good book it was a good read.
I agree with you. They definitely glossed over what the ramifications were between, at the end of her battle with the Yon-Rogg, with Colonel Yon-Rogg and mm-hmm. what was calling himself?
The psycho.
Yeah, the psychotron. The magnetron. The magnetron.
The magnetron. Yes,
that's what he was. So
that whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I read The Enemy Within. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the art, at least in the Avengers Assemble portion of it. But the story, probably because I hadn't been keeping up with Captain Marvel anyway, I just didn't care. And I guess her memory's gone now.
Exactly. Yes. And it's being, what was it, rebuilt or something like that? Well, her mind was rebuilt, but she's lost all her memories.
Right, which they said they alluded to earlier on. If she used her powers enough to fly, then that was going to happen. So she would not remember anybody. Well, she would pretty much not have any lasting memories of her past, but her mind would be fine and she would,
So she basically flies an Avengers Quinjet on muscle memory. She doesn't remember. How does she remember how to do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't get it.
And she remembers everybody that's around her and everything. She just doesn't remember. She just doesn't have the ties to the people.
Right. That emotional connection. Right. I think that's how they're trying to play it. So, my notes just remind me that, this is the Battle of the Corridor from Infinity number 1 from Captain Marvel's point of view. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things that happen in this book is that we now see, spoiler alert, a tease of Carol's binary powers maybe returning and awakening after they faded from sight back in Avengers when Busiek and Perez were putting together their team putting together the Avengers team in Heroes Return. It's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that they want to revisit, these binary powers because, when Carol Danvers was binary, she was, she was definitely, she ran with the Starjammers and she was one of their most powerful members.
Is that her code name, Binary?
Yes. Well,
it was when she was wielding those particular powers. So this will really make her, if you notice the cover, and I'm really glad that Roddy Cat has it up. If you look at the subtitle, it's called Earth's Mightiest Hero.
Yep.
And if that's the case, if they're looking to amp up her powers by giving her not just the Captain Marvel powers that she had, but giving her the additional binary powers, that might be very interesting and really step up her standing within the Marvel Universe.
And she was already looking to be one of the most powerful anyway, and they've kind of had to been alluding to that, since she's come back out, built up and come back out properly. So this is pretty great to see.
Definitely.
And it wouldn't be a Captain Marvel if her powers did not change.
right. What's funny about this is that I remember reading, and this, I'm betraying my age, of course, as I always do on this show.
That's fine.
I remember reading the Avengers issues when Beast was testing Carol Danvers. He's like, well, you don't have this binary power anymore. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have it anymore? Where did it go?
Right. I remember that.
So, you know, it's kind of nice that the powers are reawakening.
Which, by the way, that would have been a classic pick of the week, but I think it's been brought up before. Avengers Annual, I can't remember which one it was, when she came back in, basically came back into the universe after some trauma.
Dorgeekus has chimed in and asks, Binary's back? Didn't it burn out? That's what we were presuming. You know, I think that's what Busiek, honestly, I think Kurt Busiek, when he was doing the Avengers, was trying to power her down to make her more compatible, you know, make her less like a Superman type character. You know, when he was putting together that particular group of Avengers. So I don't know if burnout is exactly how they characterized it, but you know, that's sort of what happened.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like, it seems to me at this point now that this comes back up, it seems like one of those things was like, all right, she's kind of always had this power within her. However, mm-hmm. There needed to be a reason for it to wake back up, particularly since, I guess, justifying the last few events of, the Enemy Within event.
It's unlocking. Yeah, maybe that just unlocked the binary powers.
Right, because they were still a part of her and, you know, just dormant.
Interesting.
Her book will be ending, but could it be possibly restarted in Wave 2?
Right.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Venom is canceled, and because they saw in November solicits, Venom and Captain Marvel weren't listed, and then they eventually came out and said, yeah, Venom's ending with, I think, issue 40, and Captain Marvel, stay tuned.
Right, so we'll see how that goes. They're not going to drop Captain Marvel anytime soon, because I think there's enough groundswell of fan support.
Yes, the Caracor has spoken.
Exactly.
The book isn't one of the best sellers, but they're going to keep it around.
You know, they want to push a lead female character. They need to establish one. So.
Yeah, and it's got, they said, the big fan base. So anyway, Deadpool number 15. That's the last book I read before the show. Okay. I actually had stopped reading Deadpool books.
As well, but, you should. Oh, kidding.
Yes.
Kidding.
But I saw this, the good, the bad, and the ugly storyline with Cap and Wolverine involved in the whole...
I love the cover.
Yeah, me too. That's also kind of iconic.
Weapon Prime or Weapon Plus, whatever program they were involved in. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read this. And Declan Shavley is doing the art.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. Good read.
I thought it was okay.
And it was fun. I liked
it's definitely fun, yeah.
The inter-dialogue with Deadpool and the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that's in his head.
Right. And you see how there's line-wide acknowledgement of certain things, like Wolverine and Storm getting it on?
Yeah, that was funny.
It's in all the books. It's in all the books now.
Yeah. I like how they're making it a thing, too, like, except pushing in other books.
Yeah. It's across the line.
We don't care about FF anymore, right?
I read it. It was bad. I did not enjoy it.
That would be FF number 11 for those who didn't score.
I've been picking this up. Oh, wait. Okay, I have to read this. If that is any indication. But I have to catch up to it. I have not read. I've been buying it, but I have not read any of them. And apparently Impossible Man is showing up in this issue. If that's...
I guess so.
Okay, I can dig that. That's cool. But outside of that, haven't read it, so.
Just very quickly, the Impossible Man makes a kind of a cool appearance in this, but it's not enough to keep up with the book.
Okay.
You know, so it's cool. Right? It's a cool read. I just don't think that they're doing enough to really keep me reading it. You may disagree, Roddy Cat. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's not like that New Mutants annual with him and Warlock going at it.
No. I don't want to spoil it because I think you may want to read it.
Gotcha.
And let's see. First, Adam Black says he gave up on Captain Marvel when it looked like she was on the cover of her book taking a shit. And he took a screenshot of one of the Enemy Within tie-in books where she's like grabbing her head and she's like, ah! And looks like she's taking a dump.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dorkika says, wasn't Declan on Thunderbolts 2? I want to say, I thought wasn't Declan on... That's not the same guy that was doing Fearless Defenders, is it? That's Will Sliney. What was Declan doing?
You mean Shalvey? Because Declan died on Breaking Bad. Declan died on Breaking Bad. Shalvey is the artist. Declan Shalvey is the artist.
He said he's the artist on Deadpool for Marvel and Conan for Dark Horse. I'm sure he's done other stuff before then, though. But yeah, I've seen him on something recently. It wasn't Thunderbolts. And actually, I forget who did the... Jeff A. something did Thunderbolts this past week, and it was good. I liked his art.
Dorgeekus is chiming in on FF. He finds old man Johnny interesting and a normal Papoopian. I'm spoiling it. Where's the spoiler? Also interesting. So if Radicat or any of the viewers and listeners out there think that that might cause you to read FF, by all means, give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll check it out at some point. Like I said, it's just been collecting.
Piling up.
Yeah.
Schnitt's book. Like I said, I'm going to wait till Gambit ends, and I'll go back and read all of them. New Avengers number 9. Infinity tie-in.
Just finished this before. No, actually, I did not finish this before we started.
I'm trying to remember what happened. I read this so long ago, I'm trying to remember what happened in it.
Oh.
I know the Illuminati Avengers took on all the invading alien forces from Thanos.
Yeah, there's some diplomatic, you know, there's some shenanigans going on.
Yeah, I love New Avengers. I'm gonna go ahead and come out and say it, and I love that it kind of back and forth ties into the regular Avengers book. So, but and I haven't finished this particular issue, but from what I've read so far, things have not been going well, or things have not kind of there's been some things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there are new players to the game. So. And I was right, I think, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
You said that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That one of those Infinity Gems didn't smash.
Yeah, not the toot my own horn, so apologize for that one, but damn it, I was right, and I was happy to see that.
I'll toot it for
you. I couldn't remember who brought that up. I saw that happen. I was like, someone tweeted me or something like, no one of those gems didn't break, right?
Right.
This is like back when the issue first came out.
I gotta go back and read it now.
Yeah.
So what happened to it? Is it gonna be found out that Black Bolt hit the Infinity Gems?
One of the I'm not sure if it was him, but I think even in the panel that says that, because I'll go ahead and say it, because basically Thanos brings it up, and he was like, well, he knows where to look, or he knows where to start looking, and he may have mentioned I don't know if he said when or that or something like that, but I think it was my theory was it was time displaced, so. But I don't know. But good. Okay. That is coming out, and that's good. I'm wondering if we're going to see Cap coming back into it because of that, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I think they've kind of just shuttered Cap to the side.
Yeah,
he's busy in space.
Well, yeah,
or at this point. Dimension Z. Scarlet Spider number 21. I read. I enjoyed. They teased Ben Reilly returning, but is all...
It was entertaining.
Is it all as we see?
Mm-hmm. The issue was entertaining. I actually had... I was entertained. I lost... I think I've lost track of what... You know, there's an actual antagonist in the story that's revealed, and I kind of lost track of whether or not this particular antagonist is dead, alive, or a clone at this point. if you guys know what I mean. It's a Spidey book after all. Who's dead, who's alive, who's a clone?
Sure.
Hard to keep. So yeah, there's a little bait and switch.
Yep.
I'm sure next up, Secret Avengers number 8, which I have not gotten to, and it's still being debated if I'm going to keep reading this or not.
Well, yeah.
Robbie, can you read it?
No, I've been, again, this one's also being collected, but I haven't read this one, this particular one.
I read this. This was a fun read. It's basically, you can tell from the cover, it's Mockingbird behind enemy lines on AIM Island, and there's lots of evil things going on. So it's an in-between, it basically moves the story along. Not all that much happens in this book, but there's definitely some cool things going on. So if you're into Secret Avengers and into the espionage and kind of the, you know, what's funny about this book is that it sort of doubles as a highlight of the villains that are working for AIM right now. And if you notice, I'll draw a comparison to the Hellfire Academy stuff that's in Wolverine and the X-Men. Like, if you remember, there was a couple of issues where they spotlighted the students at the Hellfire Academy and the evil mutant teachers that they hired to teach the Hellfire Academy kids. So, you know, this is sort of a highlight on, you know, this Secret Avengers kind of highlights, you know, the inner workings of AIM Island and the bad guys that they have working there.
Does any of this tie into what's going on in Avengers?
Not really.
Okay.
It's kind of self-contained.
I guess sort of, since the stuff that, you know, Nick Spencer co-wrote a couple issues of Avengers with Hickman, stuff where it had the AIM people involved.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe? I haven't read it. I'll get to it later. Thanos Rising number 5 of 5, the end of that miniseries. Have not read it yet.
Can you guys read it?
Yeah, nah, not yet.
I'm not going to spoil it because I figure Tim might read it and Roddy Cap might read it.
Oh, yeah.
This is my review. No, these are my notes. Death, comma, blah, blah, blah.
So basically we were left where we started.
Kinda. Yeah. Just read it, but I don't think it goes anywhere really.
Well, then but basically what it sounds like, the cover is pretty much telling it all, because you see her over there in the corner. And
yeah.
Dorgika says, going back to Scarlet Spider, wasn't Kraven dead when Ben Reilly was active? Kraven can't die unless it's by Peter Parker's hands.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that.
Listen, Kraven blew his freaking head off. You know, his own head off.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. What's been going on with Kraven?
You know, and that was a great story. Kraven was a
clone.
Clone. Let's speed through some of this. Thor got another number 12.
Oh, wait, no, we can't speed through this. This was an awesome book. This was my personal pick of the week. This was an awesome issue.
Good, because I'm enjoying Thor anyway. I haven't read it yet, but...
Oh, you haven't read it yet? Oh, I don't want to spoil too much then. I really don't. How about you, Ryan?
I know it's the downtime issue for Thor spending time on Earth after all he's been through.
Yeah, basically, it's what it is. It's a epilogue to the God Butcher storyline, the Gore storyline, where the three Thors are slowly losing what they remember of the story of that story, that adventure, and they're reintegrating themselves into their respective timelines. And the young Thor goes back to, you know, to Iceland, and he's hanging out with Viking chicks. And the old Thor goes into the future, and modern Thor, Avenging Thor, comes back to the present. And it's just a really well done. The characterization is, you know, it talk about doing a lot with this character. Jason Aaron has written probably the most well-rounded Thor that's ever existed in the Marvel Universe. And there's a couple of scenes with Jane Foster. I don't want to spoil anything, but they're remarkably well done. I had a lot, you know, they're really, it was really a touching couple of scenes. And, I can't say enough that Jason Aaron, you know, knocks it out of the park with his Thor, more so than some of his other stuff. Like, I was not a fan of, he wrote Thanos Rising. I was not a fan of that whole series. But Thor, he's really got a handle on the character. We have, I think it's Nick Klein doing art on this. It's not Esad Ribic, and my understanding is that Ribic's not on the book going forward. I don't know if he's going to be
rotating. Yeah, he's taking a break, and I think Ron Garney's taking over doing the Malekith story.
Right.
But because, I think he's supposed to come back after that.
Oh, is he going to be back? That's awesome. Because
I think so. Hopefully.
Because his art is sorely missed when you see anything else, you know, anybody else doing Thor right now. But this issue, I highly recommend it. You know, like I said, there's a couple of really touching scenes, and you don't really think that you would get that in a Thor book. So, you know, I can't recommend it enough. You know, this is probably my co-pick of the week. This was up there. My reason, I actually reread this twice, believe it or not. I didn't get to like all the other, like the DC books and some of the other Marvel books I didn't get to this week. I actually reread this book twice.
All right.
You know, talk about a ringing endorsement, right?
Yeah, really.
I'm sure. I definitely expect that from the next book, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 26.
I read that. You didn't get to that yet, Tim, right?
Mm-mm.
How about you, Roddycat? Are you reading this?
No, I'm not. I am not reading any Ultimate books right now.
Do you have this on your pull list or your collection list?
No.
At all?
No.
You should.
Yeah, I've been hearing, like, I've been hearing
specials. You're going to read this.
I mean, well, a lot of the stuff should be in Marvel Unlimited now, and I think I was kind of waiting for some of that, because I think they have gotten up to Miles Morales by now, should have. So I will check it out.
Okay. Well, in this issue, I'm not really going to spoil much, because the cover itself says Spider-Man No More.
Right.
Basically, Miles is back in the swing of things.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right, exactly. We have the origin of a Bombshell, one of the characters in this. And I don't know if this is the first appearance of Ultimate Taskmaster, but Ultimate Taskmaster makes an appearance.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool. Well, we have Dork Geekus chiming in on a couple of things. I guess we can spoil this now with the spoiler alert. We're talking about dead characters. Talking about Kraven and Kraven the Hunter. And there's a whole bunch of history that Dorgeekus is refreshing us on Twitter. So I don't know if you want to get into this, Tim.
He's just going to tell us the back history on Kraven.
All right. And Dorgeek has also mentioned Thor reminded me of All-Star Superman. I think I know what he's talking about. I can agree with that.
Shout out to Dave Marquez on art on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes, definitely. Nice. Definitely. It's very good. Definitely. So, yeah, you should get out there and read Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. This issue is probably not the easiest one to pick up first. You should probably go back and read a couple of the prior issues. I don't know if this would be a good issue just to pick up, you know, as your first issue in the series, but, you know, go back and pick up the last couple and you should be up to speed.
All right. Wolverine, the X-Men number 35 was the end of the Hellfire saga. Now I was going to mention just as much as we love Jason Aaron on Thor, but not so much on the Thanos Rising limited series. Same almost can be said for his Wolverine and the X-Men now. It's kind of fell off for me.
It depends. I like this issue. It's part 5 of the Hellfire saga. You know, it's the culmination of a number of storylines and plot threads. This issue sort of wraps up a lot of those things because I believe it's the last issue before the Battle of the Atom crossover. Yeah. So my only critique really wasn't with Jason Aaron in this issue. It was actually with Nick Bradshaw. I thought that some of Nick Bradshaw's layouts, he's the penciler on this book, some of his layouts are really hard to follow. But I thought that Jason Aaron's story beats were pretty spot on. there's a tease of the return of a fan favorite character at the end of the book from the Land of the Dead. So it's
I was actually definitely happy all about that.
I was definitely enthusiastic about this book after reading this because there's a lot of dangling plot lines that were wrapped up very, very anti-Claremont right there.
Yes, Claremont, if it was Claremont, stuff would just keep dragging off.
Exactly, exactly. So it's very, you know, I like this issue of the two Aaron books that I like this week. Obviously, Thor's is at the top. This one was pretty good. I like this book. I definitely think that... wait, you didn't have a chance to read this yet, right, Tim?
What was that?
You didn't read this?
Yeah, I read this.
Okay. I think the previous issues were kind of tough to follow, but I think this was a good wrap-up.
Yeah. And Battle of Atom starts, so I'm all in for that. Young Avengers number 9.
Yay!
Oh yeah, Brew is back.
Yes, well, I didn't want to spoil everything. Thank you, Dorkies.
Well, no, actually, well, I thought you were talking about the other spoiler of who could be back later.
Oh no, no, I presumed you were reading Dorkies' latest tweet, where he says that he's glad that Brew's mind is back.
Yeah.
And yes, Dorkies, yeah. I do believe.
That's what they're referring.
The second part of your tweet is correct.
So stay tuned for that and another series that they've already announced. So it's not really unless you don't keep up with news.
There you go.
Which I think we already announced it a couple episodes ago anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But Young Avengers number 9, I read. I'll wait to see what Dork Kika's tweets at me as I review this issue. It's good. So
what do you think, Tim, before I say anything?
It's funny. Young Avengers, me and Dork Geek used to go back and forth about Young Avengers when it first started in the Marvel Now. We both weren't crazy about it. I thought it was kind of over. I could tell going into it I wasn't going to enjoy it that much because of from all the interviews from Kieran Gillen, the writer, how he promoted the book. I was like, yeah, this doesn't really sound too good. And just right before I was going to drop it, I think the first arc ended with issue 5. And I was like, I read it before and I was like, man, I'm tired of this book. And I was like, I'll finish it with number 5. And then number 5 was good. And since then, it's been enjoyable for me. And I'm actually liking it. I mean, he's taking chances with some characters. And I guess this previous arc just ended. And some members are going their different ways. And I guess characters are being introduced.
Yeah.
But hey, did you read it?
I did. Yeah. I enjoyed the book. This was also one of those. I think I'm starting to wonder. Like this is. Granted, I have not read Runaways, but I'm guessing it's kind of tap into that fan base. Yeah, because I've noticed. I'm thinking some of the same people who used to like Runaways, which I've still yet to read. That's on my list. But
I started it. I'm on like issues. 8 or something of Runaways.
Read Runaways. I could definitely see what you mean. It's definitely tapping into that same vein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I can see it.
I'm not that happy with where the story's going because it seems like they're still using this whole mother alien magic dimension thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would just go away from that.
Stop with that.
I'm tired of that.
Right, and get to what the deal is with that fake Patriot running around and whatnot.
Well, yeah, I don't mind that dangling plot point for late to be picked up later.
Yeah, as long as they're going to go somewhere with it, that's fine. Yeah. But I mean, overall, but the book itself, I mean, the issue itself was a pretty good read. The cover kind of speaks on the angsty part of this book, which you know, if you like that part, great. You know, give or take. The book is generally fun, though. I don't know why. I like Kid Loki for some reason.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's the reason why I used to read Journey into Mystery and everyone used to poke fun at him.
Yeah, so he's kind of partially carrying the book for me. I mean, not saying the book is bad, but like he's kind of elevating that because
It was a cool return in this book. It was kind of cool to see. Spoiler alert, for like the 10 people, for the 10 people that read Journey into Mystery.
Right, yes.
You know, Leah is back. I was pretty cool to see. I was like, oh, man, she's back. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea who that was.
Even that I did, I kind of did a little, did a little research. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, her interaction with Kid Loki into Journey into Mystery way back when really sold that book for me. I bought every issue of that book when Kid Loki was in it because I just thought it was so entertaining.
Which, on a side note, that book is ending, I think.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Oh, we skipped it?
Well, I mean, the series is ending.
Yeah, we skipped it. I mean, we skipped it in the reviews this week. I actually read it.
Yeah, I think it came out this week or something. Yeah.
You know, I didn't read it.
Yeah, neither did I, but...
All right.
Hey, wait, you didn't... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Dorkika says, I still think Young Avengers is overhyped. It picked up a bit. It's odd that they are happy with Tommy still missing... Yeah, I still think it's overhyped too, but I don't know. I guess I'm enjoying it now as the story has progressed. It's keeping my attention.
It'll be okay.
And he says he thinks Runaways was more compelling and had more characters that he could relate to. And yes, to your last tweet, I believe that's a yes. Just coming from a person that doesn't know one thing.
What's that, about Leah growing up to be Hela?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I probably should remember that, but... The way they did it in Young Avengers that they basically ran into her trapped in time. And that's how they were able to find her in that predicament. You know, that's how they worked her into the story. That was my understanding of it, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't take my word. I know nothing about these characters.
Right. But yeah, alphabetically, we obviously skipped over Journey into Mystery. I just wanted to touch on that real quick. It is the last issue.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But alphabetically, we jumped over. That's right. Uncanny. You're right. The two Uncanny books, Journey into Mystery.
Oh shit! Yeah, both of them.
You jumped straight to Young Avengers. Journey into Mystery's ending. The storylines, which I had no idea was going on. I happened to read it because it was the last issue. The storylines are wrapped up. Asgard is sort of back to where it is. The status quo has been returned. Beta Ray Bill's status quo has been returned. The last panel was kind of funny. You know, it's Sif, Lady Sif, kind of going off on how unhappy she is with certain things, and it was actually the way it ended was actually kind of funny. So you don't even need to, just like myself, you don't even need to have read any of the previous issues with Sif in it to really get what the writer was trying to get across and how unhappy she was that this book was ending and how, and just sort of, sort of getting a lot of stuff off her chest, at the end. So, if anyone's interested in reading that, take a peek at this book this week.
Now back to the Uncanny Avengers number 11. So this is the end of the Apocalypse Twin arc, and now we're getting into the Ragnarok now, or we will next issue.
Mm-hmm.
This issue...
Didn't this issue fill in a lot of blanks for you?
I guess it gave more origin stuff with the Apocalypse Twins. I can't remember what else happened, but the...
Well, the plot is revealed. The plot is revealed, like the whole reason... I mean, I know that it's been told before, but just to have it retold again, it kind of sank in this time. What Kang's plot is in all this.
What is it?
Well, I don't want to spoil it. See, but...
Need to forget that people haven't read some of this stuff, so...
Right, I don't want to spoil it.
I don't remember.
But, yeah, we should get around to this one.
So...
Oh, yeah, they did reveal stuff, yeah.
Right, so they fill in a lot of the blanks, so... if anyone needs to read, get up to speed on Uncanny Avengers, this is actually a pretty useful issue.
And my main man, Oliver Coppel, comes on to do, not Oliver, Salvador LaRocca, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. comes on, another one of my main men, comes on to do fill-in art next issue, and then Daniel Acuna's back for one issue, and then it's Steve McNiven to do a couple issues. Go. Right when the story gets
going. That's right.
Yeah. and Uncanny X-Men. Fraser Irvin. I don't know if it's the coloring or I don't know what the hell's going on in each panel of this book.
I feel you on this one.
I was lost as far as like what's going on. I couldn't follow the action. And
part of it was I thought, you know what? I actually like this issue because there was a lot less talk.
There was a lot of internal talk. We were in Cyclops' head the whole issue.
That's one way to look at it, but it wasn't a lot of dialogue. You know what I mean? There was a lot more action in this issue, I thought, than in previous issues. And there's actually a bit of comedy in here where we finally, I think, get a code name for the dude with the the dude that projects
golden balls.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I actually like that at least these students are actually doing something now.
Right.
And then we had the introduction of a character who was first introduced on a cover for New Avengers number one, but was never used. And now this is supposedly a big deal. I got to the last page. I was like, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, it was more like, yes, so.
Art didn't help either, but and this Omega Sentinel, whatever it's called, couldn't tell what the hell was going on. Bring back Carl.
Karima?
What's the artist? What's the other artist on this that's been doing the series? He used to do Wolverine and X-Men. I keep wanting to say Carlos Pacheco, the other dude with the funny name. Someone help me.
Can't help you on that one.
Who else is on art on this? I don't know. You're making me look it up. I don't
know. Tweet me, Dork Geekers. I know you know.
We know you know.
Art.
We know you know. We know you know. Killing me here. I don't know. My excuse for not knowing is that I've been really cared about Uncanny X-Men for a while. Kind of sad.
Chris Bacalo.
Acuna?
Chris Bacalo.
Oh, Bacalo. That's it.
Yeah. So now we're done with Marvel. And well, I think so we're done with...
My excuse for not knowing is that I have never really kept up with historically, I've never kept up with who's writing or drawing the books. I've just really started getting into that kind of stuff. So,
really,
yeah, like no kidding. I followed characters and not the writers, which I'm writing. I mean, following more writers now than, but I still follow certain characters. So, and I know that I was going to bring that up one time, but I'm not going to do it right now.
No, that's fine. I mean, I know it's late. We want to wrap up. I was just going to say, I think it depends on which characters and which books you were into when you were reading as a young person. You know, when you were during your formative years when you were reading comics. I think it really depends on what you were reading, whether or not you really get into a particular creator. You know, I can definitely tell you that I was into Walt Simonson because I loved his Thor. And I went and looked up all his Thor stuff and grabbed all that. You know, I gravitated to certain things because you could always see, you know, like especially back then, there was sometimes, I believe back then there was a little bit more continuity in terms of runs and arcs that artists stayed on for. So I could tell you that, you know, I became a fan of George Perez because I was a fan of some of the stuff that he did on like Avengers stuff that I saw in like the old boxes, you know, in the comic boxes. And the new Teen Titans stuff, you know, that was coming out when I was a kid. So that's sort of how I picked up on it. Like I became a fan of certain creators just because of that. So
yeah. Hey, I was all into Rob Liefeld's X-Force. Tell you what, I lie.
Rob Liefeld killed Avengers for me, or at least his run of Avengers for me.
Did he do Avengers?
I think he did. Third volume or something.
Avengers like Heroes Reborn.
Yeah, he did Avengers. Jim Lee did it. Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. Can we not talk about this anymore?
Oh yeah, let's mention the. I guess I'll quickly go through the books I read last weekend. So Justice League Dark number 23, I enjoyed. Justice League. Oh, that's of course a tie-in to the Trinity War. Just Leap Beyond 2.0, number one, the digital comic. That and Batman Beyond 2.0, I recommend to people. Digital only, 99 cents. Justice League of America's Vibe, number seven, the best issue of the book so far. The person that the guest penciler improved greatly. And of course, the story progressed with Paco and his brother. And then Green Lantern, New Guardians, number 23. Enjoyed that also.
Oh, from last week, I actually do have something I wanted to mention. I did read the Infinity Against the Tide Infinite comic that tells us what happens to or what Silver Surfer's up to during Infinity. So I stupidly said, well, where the hell is Silver Surfer in all this? He is somewhere.
He's right here.
He is somewhere, although I really think he should be in the main storyline.
I would like to think he's probably going to show up at some point.
I hope.
He'll just show up like the Watcher, watching from the car.
He'll be blasting things on the periphery of all the battles.
Even though Watu's been busy watching Nova for some reason.
Yeah, right?
Babysitting.
That's funny.
And so our click of the week. What is our, everyone pick a book, or click of the week book?
I'll go first quickly. I've already said Thor number 12.
I need to find one of my damn self.
If something makes you read it two or three times in the same sitting, basically, it's pretty good.
Damn, I'm mad I haven't read it yet. I need to get on that.
I don't want to overhype it for you because it definitely struck a couple of chords for me. It may not hit as close to home for you, but you know, it was definitely a very touching book for me. How about you, Roddy Cat, while Tim is looking?
I'm still thinking about that.
But... I can see like books that I haven't read yet. I know I'll like like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Thor, The Flash. I'm sure I'll like.
Well, Justice League. Go ahead.
Just League number 23. I guess maybe that one. I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah, because I haven't read enough. But for now, Justice League number 23.
Okay.
I might just go with Federal Bureau of Physics.
That's cool. That doubles as our non-superhero book of the week, too.
Yeah, because I did enjoy it. I mean, like I said, I don't have a problem with this. There was not much action to it, but it there was some plot development that happened, and it was a good read. It was kind of one of those things like, wait, it's over already? So.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I did have a pick from last week, but I think we talked about it last week. It was Avengers Assemble 18, I believe it was, which is basically doing the same thing as Captain Marvel's book this week, except from Spider-Woman's point of view.
I didn't like that.
Well, I've noticed a couple of books that's happening then lately. So, and which is funny because I think when Hawkeye did it, the two or three issues, it was like, hey, wait a minute. Even though I enjoyed it, it was like, hey, wait, where's... Can I get some development here? But it was. And then I was noticing, well, you know, this is doing it. I think there was something else I read that's also doing that. Just taking a book and say, hey, going back in another perspective.
Yeah. But usually event book tie-in books will do stuff like that.
Sure. But this one's like really close. It was like, all right, just.
I guess I didn't care about Spider-Woman's angst. That's my whole thing.
Yeah. Her spousism.
Yeah, really. Like, I'm actually thinking about picking up Assembled because Kelly Sue DeConnick's writing it, and that would be the other reason for it. Or that would be the reason for it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, the only books I've been picking up on that one have been the stuff that's tied in.
What was the last thing you've been reading on Unlimited? Marvel Unlimited?
Give me a second, I'll pull it up. Because I know, let's see, I think I was finishing Next Wave, and I think I had Immortal Iron Fist.
So I can see what that looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just catching up on Immortal Iron Fist?
Yeah.
And that is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, because I heard Fraction ran it, and I heard it was pretty good. So I was like, okay, you got me with both of those. Let's see, what else do I have in here? And I think I was going back on a run of Black Panther. Oh, also, Hawkeye and Mockingbird, because I had not read that.
Who wrote that?
Let's see. Paul Renard and, Paul Renard, Dave Lopez. Let me pull it up and see who's actually reading. I mean, Jim McCann wrote it. Excuse me.
Okay. Oh, okay. Know that name? I think he does Minding the Gap, I think.
Yeah, he has his own creator. He has his own creator and stuff now.
So that's been, and now since they have updated the number of books that you can read offline, I will have to add some more. 12. Because it was 6 and now it's 12, yeah.
All right. So for all you fans of the digital comics, there's some news out there for you.
Yeah, definitely. If it's something if you want to kind of catch up. Like, granted, yeah, there's Comic Line where you could just go through synopsis and whatnot. But if you just want to actually read books, and they do have gaps in it because I'm kind of upset that they don't have the original run of Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, they have a couple of issues. I think the issue that came out in of Marvel Presents or whatever it was, and a couple on the side. But they don't have the actual run that they had back in 90, whatever it was, I think.
You're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy with, like...
Yes. With Vance Astro and Yondu. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have none of that. They just have the last volume, and starting with this one, I guess.
But the Abnett and Lanning stuff, right?
Right.
That's the movie stuff with Groot and Star-Lord and all that, right?
Right, which I forgot
that's
to mention.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, which I forgot to mention. Abnett and Lanning is also writing Battlestar Galactica from last week that I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Stupid.
So if you like them, go for it.
I'm trying to. I said this app, Marvel Unlimited app, must be broke. Every time I try to search for something, the app crashes.
That search is kind of. Oh yeah, it has been crashing. The Marvel app particularly has been crashing.
First world comic fan.
I know, right?
Is it called Next Wave Agent something?
Yeah, Agents of Hate. Yes. That's it.
Agents of Hate. Yeah, click on it, and okay. Now, of course, I complain about it. Now it opens.
There you go. They listen. I just wanted to mention something that Dorkeek has tweeted. I thought it was pretty funny. Zorgeek is surprised that the Marvel characters are creeped out by Uatu the Watcher. He watches 24/7 all the time.
Right, and he used to particularly watch Fantastic Four.
Right, now he watches everybody.
Yeah.
He watches Wolverine, he watches Nova.
That's hold funny. Up. So Stuart Immonen did the art on Next
Yes,
Wave?
He was on.
Yes. Oh,
that's enough for me to read it.
It's very good. It's funny. It's very funny.
It is.
Cool. All right. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. Shout outs to Dork Geekus on Twitter and the_Adam_Black on Twitter, my bro, for chiming in during the show. And again, make sure to go to the website, theclicknation.com, and follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. You see mine on the screen if you're watching the video, at TimDogg98. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Roddy Cat is at Roddy, RoddyKatt.
Okay, just one T.
T, just one T.
And I would also like to mention at News Nerds Need, because I need to promote it a little bit more. That is where I post articles on, well, there's a lot of comic stuff, tech, movies, et cetera, et cetera. Which, by the way, real quick, sorry, Tim, but this is something that might interest you. There was a, I forgot to mention it, Top Cow's 2013 Talent Hunt is looking for unpublished writers and artists.
Awesome.
So, yes, I am going to put the link in chat.
Chat for me.
Yeah,
right, we talked about the Boom Studios one.
Yeah, Boom was just for artists, so I was like, I got practice.
Yes, and if there's any good artists out there, Tim's looking for an artist. I'm putting him out there, even though he's not. So,
I'm out of practice, and I'm not good on sequential storytelling just yet. And you know that's what's important.
Well, hey, you know, no better time to get back in the swing, right?
Cool. I will pocket that link
That's
to save
cool.
me later.
So, because yeah, you know so. there's aspiring artists and writers and whatnot out there in Comic Chronicle land, so you definitely want to pull that up. That's Top Cow is doing a talent search. That's pretty cool.
Nice. It's funny, all these companies that I'm not familiar with be doing talent searches, and they're like, use our characters, and I'm not familiar with them.
but they were the ones that needed, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem for another time to bitch about. So thanks for watching or listening, depending on how you were tuning into the show. I am your host, Tim DLGG, and this is Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No, yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, what? We don't give a. As long as them pages are hot and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.